What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 365th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, SBJ. With me, Will.
No, I'm not with you. I am baked. I am fried. I am Pokemon Go, Pokemon Went. What are you people doing to me with all of this having to be outdoors and the exercise and the sunshine and the... I got two shiny Raikos. I'm better than everybody else. Bye.
Okay. All right. Greg is here.
There was an event yesterday?
Oh, no.
I think you made the better choice, Greg.
Welcome to Final Fantasy 14 Gantz. That's Dance.
No.
My new dancer, you know what? There
was you know what the event yesterday was? Somebody decided that since the Saturday, 4th of July is on Thursday, that they're going to have their 4th of July bar crawl celebration in downtown DC yesterday.
Oh, not good. Wait, everybody gets that day off. DC should be closed on the 4th.
DC should be closed, period. Just close down the entire city. We'll all move someplace else that's better.
I will say this. Well, I did go play role-playing games, and when I went into Fantasy Flight Game Center, I had popped open Go because it was the first time I'd left my house that day, and that was about 5:30, because Final Fantasy XIV's here, and it's amazing. And I popped it open, and the one gym that's out there had the Raikou in it. I'm like, oh, right. Well, moving on.
Yeah.
I don't need my lightning dog.
Couldn't do it with four people. We needed a fifth.
But I did.
You did?
Oh. I did pop open my I should check this. And I opened up, and the first thing I clicked on was a low NG dude, and it was shiny. I'm like, well, I'm done. I don't need it anymore. Complete.
Pokemon Go. Well, we got a lot of Pokemon news this week. Before we start, we are going to address the National Dex issue again.
Why?
There's an update for it.
I need to be in a coma till the game comes out. Well, no, I'm in a different...
Things we didn't talk about last week, I do want to talk about this week regarding the National Dex. So we will probably save that for after the break. They did show an 8-minute half-TV show... 1/8 gameplay of Pokemon Masters.
This is the game I want to talk about.
There's the 3rd anniversary of Pokemon Go, and there's another new TCG set coming out, which is...
Did one just come out?
One is coming out in the first week of August, but another one is now coming out at the end of August.
Wow.
The money train keeps rolling.
Yeah. Choo choo choo.
Let's start with the TCG stuff.
Yay, the thing I know little about but I'm fascinated by. Okay, shout out to literally everybody who's trying to make me magic decks. Keep trying, maybe one day I'll say yes.
Don't worry about it. I got you covered.
That's literally what everybody's saying. Don't worry about it. They got you covered. All right. Well, I'll work it into my schedule at some point. Keep dreaming the dream.
Magic people need to find new people to inject this poison into.
I know.
Exactly.
I mean, but this, what they need is to overcome the poison of me working in a card shop when the game first launched. Because that has soured my view of Magic forever.
Media alert.
Media alert.
Collect the first tag team trio in the new Pokemon trading card game expansion, Hidden Fates. Fans of the Pokemon trading card game can look forward to a variety of new and unique cards in the upcoming Hidden Fates expansion, including the first ever tag team trio featuring Moltres, Zapdos, and Articuno GX, as well as depicting Pokemon in their shiny forms, like Mewtwo GX and Charizard GX. The first wave of Hidden Fates will be available starting August 23rd.
I'm in. Buying them all.
So
those birds look like they are ready to wreck house. They are all glaring at you like, bring it.
Would you say that they're angry birds?
They are angry, angry birds.
I'm sure that they'll have a pre-release at Worlds. For those playing at Worlds, usually you can play the expansion a week early. This comes out a week after Worlds. The rotation is August 15th. There will be Hidden Fates 10s on September 6th, which will spotlight Charizard GX, Gyarados GX, or Raichu GX, and will contain four Hidden Fates booster packs. And, well, we'll see if all four are actually Hidden Fates. There will be a new collection on August 23rd that will contain one of two promo cards featuring the legendary Pokemon Mewtwo or the mythical Pokemon Mew, and one of two collector pins featuring Mewtwo or Mew, and three Hidden Fates booster packs. And finally, there will be a Hidden Fates Elite Trainer Box releasing on September 20th with the Hidden Fates Elite Trainer Box, including one of the promo cards featuring Moltres, Zapdos, and Articuno, and 10 Hidden Fates booster packs. It will also include Pokemon TCG accessories like card sleeves, dice, player guides, more. This is what they call, and I'm not sure what they call it, a mini set, I guess, is what I call it. So they did the same thing with Detective Pikachu, and they did the same thing with, what was it? What was the legendary Shining Legends, was it? Where you cannot buy actual booster packs of it. You have to buy these collections. So you either have to buy a 10 or an Elite Trainer Box or a blister pack. You just can't straight up buy booster packs of these cards because it's not a full set. This is including the shiny Pokemon set that we got in Japan. Back in the day, back on this very show, back on the internet, there was a trademark that the world freaked out about. Well, some people, I guess. Called Ultra Shiny. And it was after Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, before the possibility of an 8th generation game. And everyone lost their mind that this Ultra Shiny was a thing. And we were going to get these Ultra Shiny rare Pokemon in the video game. And on this very show, I'm pretty sure we said, well, they never trademarked Megas, and they never trademarked Alolan, and usually when they trademark something, it's almost always TCG-related, and it was indeed TCG-related. Ultra Shiny was the name of a set that came out in Japan with nothing but shiny Pokemon, and now, almost a year later, since that initial announcement, these cards are coming to America. Doesn't seem like all of them. But they are coming in the Hidden Fates collection.
Ultimately, they're no good.
But, okay. A lot of them you can't even play. Like, there's a shiny Zoroark, but since Zoroark is technically going out of rotation, it's not a reprint. It's a, I don't know what they call it. Pretty much
collector's item.
Yeah, they did this too with like a bunch of cards right after N, which we talked about last week. All these cards rotated out, and then they reprinted a bunch. Like Juniper and N and a couple other ones, but they still were not playable. Let me look up the word real quick, but
I'm just looking at this triple tag team. Does this seem like it's incredibly hard to play? Like you have to have fire, water, electric, and
oh yeah, no one's playing that.
Yeah, I'm like it's just a card. Like that's not a way to and to retreat. Like it's just a show. It's just a show card.
They're not
fake card
reprints. They're alternative arts, so it does not update legality. Some cards you can play with like two energy, but anytime it's asking you for three, good luck.
I mean, it just
three
seems
different energy types.
Yeah, three different energy.
It seems wild that they make cards that like everybody knows. You're never going to use this. It's just to sit in a binder.
Oh, no. Quite the opposite, Greg. That's not wild at all. Every single set, if it's a 100-card set, you've got 10 cards that are worth playing, 90 cards that are straight to the trash can.
See, this is why I can't get into TCGs.
Some cards are good for, like...
fun?
No,
for,
like
putting on the
like,
spokes
some cards
of your
are
bike?
Really only good for, like, pre-release stuff.
Hmm.
And some cards
common
are...
Wormadam is not used in any deck ever.
Not with that attitude.
You know, people are going to be real upset when they can't get their favorite Pokemon in Galar, but hey, it's been 8 years, Will, and they finally reprinted a Sawsbuck. Finally, okay. The TCG can play Sawsbuck.
Let me rephrase this as in response to what Steve actually said. The phrase, "This card is good in the pre-release format," is the signature statement of how garbage that card actually is in reality. Let's like the Heat Moor, where it was like, look at the top four cards of your deck, do 50 damage times every like fire energy that you reveal. And it's like, oh, I'm going to make a pre-release deck that's four Heat Moor and 30 fire energy. And it's like, that's not a real deck. That's not even Pokemon. That's just dumb.
Like every Guzzlord card they've ever printed is like 17 energy to do the attack, and it's not even a good attack.
Well, it guzzled all your energy, that's for darn sure.
I want to remind
everyone.
But it's
good in the pre-release format.
What is the Sawsbuck season?
It's the just all green one, which is summer.
Yeah, I think spring has flowers on it.
Yeah, spring has flowers.
Spring is pink. Okay. I want to remind everyone that there's a Pokemon TCG card decks app that they did update to include some more cards. It still doesn't remember anything. I want so badly. Do I want
there's
to
no
use
cloud
this app?
Storage.
There's no, you can't log in with Facebook or Google or just make an account. You know, there's this great system called the Pokemon Trainer account that goes down at least once a week. And it's very unfortunate if that's the only account you've tied to Pokemon Go, but it does exist. The nothing, this app doesn't link with anything. We've tested it. I've tested it multiple times every update, just in case they forgot to put it in the update notes. But you can scan like 100 cards, and then if you accidentally delete that app, your whole collection is gone because there's no, it doesn't tie to anything. And I want a card collecting Pokemon app, and this app is the hot trash. Maybe one day. I just like, who is this product for? Who is scanning everything? And then even if they are and they're loving it and they've scanned their entire collection of X and Y and Sun and Moon and that's it because those are the only two sets it has. And then all of a sudden they buy a new phone or they drop their phone in a lake and got a replacement. Like, that's all that data is gone. You got to do it all over again.
So his name is Roger L. Peterson. He lives in Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
And this is just his pleasure. He enjoys scanning his Pokemon cards. And he's actually happy when he loses the data because he gets to scan them all again.
Okay.
This is for you, Roger.
Speaking of phones,
yes.
Caseify is doing their second drop of Pokemon merchandise. Their first drop. This is what they're calling it. Sold out in a flash. It did. It sold out in like 48 hours. All their stuff, every case, every headphone accessory. So you can go to caseify.com. You can sign up for the second one. They're not a sponsor. They do have they have Pokemon official cases and those little things that you put your finger in to not drop your phone.
What?
Not
pop sockets, but the ring finger, target rings.
Okay.
There's a name for them. I don't know what it is.
So, do we have photos of what they're releasing?
I think it's a reprint. I think it's the same stuff. I'm always curious how companies like this get to partner with the Pokemon company, but who knows?
They ask.
I'm waiting for Supreme to partner with the Pokemon company. I got to get in on that.
Believe you'll be able to start buying that stuff on July 10th. Yes, July 10th. And if you sign up for their newsletter, you will get early access. So I don't know what early access is, but they'll send you an email that you can buy before other people so they can take your email and sell it to somebody else, I'm sure.
So on their website, there's drop 2 and there's already a drop 3 listed.
What? Really?
Yeah, because it says drop 1 sold out.
Yes.
Drop 2, add to wait list, which no. Thank you, no. And then right below that, drop 3, coming soon. And they're pretty, they got it planned out.
How did you find this on their homepage?
Google?
Oh, okay.
All here, right, fair I'll link it.
I mean, I was on the drop 2 page. I didn't see a drop 3.
Wait, are you guys still on Caseify or have you gone over to Supreme? Because if Supreme really is doing a drop,
No.
I got to get myself to the Supreme store.
What is Supreme?
Oh, I see. I see the drop 3.
What?
You don't know Supreme?
No, what is
it? Because you shop at Target. That's the problem.
Do not start. Do not go after my sweet Target.
Is the most wanted brand anywhere and everywhere. It is the most ridiculous thing ever.
Well, do they have a website? What do they?
They do have a website. They had a brick. I think their brick that they sold that just literally had their logo on it was for $30 on the resale market. It went for like $200.
What is this thing? Where do I find these things?
I don't know. But when Supreme has a Pokemon crossover, I'm in. I'll be waiting right outside their store doors.
Sure. That makes sense. Mudkip Day is coming in July. On Sunday, July 21st, from 4 to 7.
Why did they change it again?
Because, look, not everyone has the same schedule, Greg.
But,
you gotta... I think, though...
I crave consistency.
I would assume the 4 to 7 is because it's summer and it's a lot hotter, like, around 2 p.m.
No, the hottest part of the day is 4 p.m.
Is it really?
Yes.
Well, maybe not in
the
some
hottest
countries.
Part of every day is at 4.
Well, then wait till 5.
It's still gonna be hot. It's not like it's just something gonna drop.
Sunday, July 21st, 4 to 7, Mudkip will appear more frequently in the wild.
And for Mudkip.
Shiny Mudkip. Ugh. If you evolve Marshtomp, you will get a special move. We already know what it is. It's the Hydro Blast on whatever the Hyper Beam of water Pokemon are. I don't know what it's called.
Not Hydro Pump.
Lure modules will last for 3 hours. You will earn triple the XP for catching Pokemon during the Community Day event. Enjoy Mudkip.
Nobody enjoys Mudkip.
Mudkip's fine. The coolest thing they're doing is those like IRL in real life, the worlds where they're very heavily and nicely animated or CG. I don't know what the word is. I guess the CG can be animated.
Yo, CG is animated, yes.
I don't know if you guys saw it on Instagram or Twitter, the little Mudkips that splash out of the water and then the people are like, look at the Mudkips. And
oh,
it's
I
like,
did see that, yeah.
14 I did not seconds see long. That.
It's very cute.
I did see that. It's very cute.
So yeah, like 3 weeks before that Mudkip Day, so we're good there. Then we have Happy 3rd Anniversary Pokemon Go. The Mudkip stuff was off Pokemon.com. This is off Pokemon Go Live. Trainers, they say third time's the charm. Pokemon journeys began with a choice of 3 Pokemon. Your journey in Pokemon Go involved joining one of 3 teams to celebrate the 3rd anniversary of Pokemon Go's release. Today, we celebrate the 3rd anniversary. To commemorate this incredible milestone, new features will start on June 28th. Shiny Alolan Pokemon. You will have a chance of encountering the following Shiny Alolan Pokemon. Rattata, Sandshrew, Vulpix, Diglett, Meowth, Geodude, Grimer, Exeggutor.
Done. Check.
Team lead avatar items. Avatar items will feature the team leader's personal styles. AKA, you can buy the clothes of the leaders.
None of them are great. None of them dress great.
Spark has the best shoes.
True. Spark
but I don't wear
best.
Shoes in Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm. Well, save your money then.
I guess I will.
From June 28th to July 6th, once per day, you have a chance of encountering a Pikachu wearing a party hat in Go Snapshot. Pichu will also be wearing a party hat and will hatch from 7K eggs. This Pikachu does have a chance to be shiny. That's been confirmed on the Sylph Road. From June 28th through September 2nd, there will be Jumpstart Research. Looking to get up to speed with your research? Do you have friends who want to play, but they feel like they missed out on too much Pokemon Go? Don't worry. Trainers can complete new research to help fulfill rewards that will jumpstart their new or continuing adventures. This special research is only available for players at level 10 or higher, so be sure to let your friends know about it to join in and get special rewards. Remember, trainers, the real game begins at level 40, so
it
by completing the run...
Nothing happens at 40!
That's said by somebody who's not almost there. I'm almost there.
I'm what, 36? I'm savoring the anticipation to Nothingville.
Raid bonuses. If you take down raid bosses faster, you will earn bonus premier balls. Decreased stardust for raiding, trading, or for trading. Trading Pokemon will cost 1/4 less stardust. We couldn't have reached this milestone without you. Thank you, trainers, for your continued passion of Pokemon Go and for joining us on this amazing adventure.
Who would believe that we've been in this unending chamber of torture for only 3 years?
It is nice that the... So the Jumpstart research will last forever. You just have to start it between now and September 2nd. Once you start it, you can take however long to complete it. I will spoil half of it for you. You will get a shiny Eevee from it.
What?
Another one of those crap wagons.
It is nice that the Pokemon World Tournament is coming up, and the 1/4 less Stardust for trading will still exist during that time. So if you are going to Worlds and you're meeting people from all over the world, and you're looking for those Uxies or those
Mesprits
or those Tropiuses or those Relicanths, there will still be a Stardust decrease. Oh yeah, Alolan Pokemon are in the wild. You can find them, and they can be shiny. Pikachu with party hat is back for the third,
millionth time.
I'm not sure how many times. Unfortunately, no party hat Wurmple, which is really what the people
Everybody wants. Or
make Wurmple great again.
Also, give me a Treecko with a straw in its mouth.
Yeah.
Cowards.
Give me them Treeccos.
All the Treeccos.
Maybe if you would pronounce the word properly, they'd do it for you.
What, straw?
Straw.
Nobody talks like that.
Would you?
Let's talk about that.
The other thing is in the... now this... All right, put your tinfoil hat on.
All right. Oh.
Why would I ever take it off, you fools? That's how they get you.
You can't do it when you sleep because the dream beams come.
We all thought that Niantic, they've made so much money in three years.
Who's we all, first of all? You did.
And we thought this was the end, right? We thought that Niantic was going to throw in the towel after Gen 4.
Harry Potter, Wizards Unite, we're finally free from Pokemon Go. That was my hope and dream.
They made $3 billion in 3 years. You know, they've ran out of Pokemon in the Pokedex. We all know that Darkrai is the last Pokemon ever be invented. But in this picture...
The last relevant Pokemon.
In this picture, there are three unknown Pokemon that I've never seen before. One is called Smugleaf, one is called Water, and one is called Pignition. That's what the internet told me from a forum that I found in 2011.
Oh, yeah, I see them. There's definitely a Smugleaf.
I didn't see them.
It's crazy that we look back to a game FAQ. I can't keep up with this bit.
I mean, this is a great picture, except for this ugly nut blob is in the front. Get out of there, nut blob.
Yeah, so there are the Gen 5 starter Pokemon are in this picture. Who would have guessed that that's what they would do next?
I only see Smugleaf, so that's the important one.
Is it the picture that comes up when you start the app?
No.
It's on their press release site thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
With a wishing star front and center, and two Spinda who are like, why are we in this picture?
That Jirachi's real chonky.
Yeah, it's a
Jirachid is what it is.
Yeah.
Got him.
Jirachi's got the juice, baby.
We gotta shut down this show as quickly as possible.
Okay, so
where is Spark in this picture? That is the question.
He's out dabbing on Professor Willow.
Wait, where is he?
Oh, he's in the back. He's taking pictures of everybody. Oh, Smeargle's jumping in his face. There's a lot going on in this picture.
There is. That's Smeargle, and
I'm pretty sure
doesn't seem like the right size.
I'm pretty sure that Garchomp's about to take out the red leader, so sorry, Team Valor.
I believe
her name
is Candace, I think. No,
like, nobody matters but Spark.
Well, I mean, the blue leader's name is Blanche.
Is Bland Blanche?
Blanche, what a name.
Blanche.
Sorry to anyone who listens to the show that is named Blanche.
Oh, I didn't see the bag on the back of the Salamence. So happy that this finally flying.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on in this picture. It's very good.
I think Shinx is about to get wrecked, though.
No, that's not Bullet Bill, so he's okay. I wish Greg would stop hating on Meltan, that little cutie.
Who? Nut Blob?
Yeah, Nut Blob. Rotten. What other secret things are hiding in this photo?
I am like looking.
That's not Spark in the back, is it? Like,
yeah,
right underneath Jirachi.
Yeah.
Jirachit.
Just for record here, because they did show the second year anniversary picture or whatever last summer after Pokemon Go Fest, and it had the Gen 4 starters in it. And 24 Gen 4 Pokemon went live in Pokemon Go.
What day did they go live?
That's what I had to look up. October 16th.
Oh, that's a long time for me to get a Smug Leaf.
And they released the starters, their evolutions, of course, which is part of the... So 9 of the 24 were just starters.
Yeah.
Starly, Kricketot, Bidoof, Binary, Chatot, Carnivine, Pachirisu, so there were three regionals, Riolu, which were only in 10k eggs, and Shinx, only in raids, and for whatever reason, Luxio spawned out of a 10k egg for a hot minute, until they fixed that. So that
Did
was...
you see that Mew is riding on Mewtwo's tail? Because that's super cute.
Yeah, there's a lot. This thing is very cute.
The beginning of the drip feed...
So, we're going to get Patrat and Lillipup. Like, can we assume that that's going to come in this wave?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Which is fine. They have 100 and gajillion Unova Pokemon to get through.
Okay.
So,
hear me out. The Basculin are going to be regional.
Red stripe versus blue. Yep.
Red stripe in the southern hemisphere, blue stripe in the northern hemisphere.
I don't think they had any regional significance in games, but...
No, but none of them do.
Well, no, Shellos did.
They need more water in the south.
I mean, like, Lunatone and Solrock and Zangoose and Seviper also have no, like, regional...
No.
I mean, Heatmore and Duran are gonna get separated, right?
They'll eat each other.
They are the Seviper and Zangoose of Gen 5.
True.
That's fine. I mean, whatever.
So what will the region exclusives be?
Wait, what?
What will the region exclusives be? Like, because they're going to have, like, this one only shows up in Europe, this one only shows up in the US, this one only shows up in Asia.
Well, Europe is going to need a new regional once Mime Jr. comes out. Or maybe they don't care. Or maybe they just give people Mime Jr. and some people just don't care and they don't have Mr. Mime and they evolve it.
Somebody's going to get Reuniclus and somebody's going to get Gotharita, Gothitelle.
Or are they going to, like, do you think, like, Blitzel will be, like...
Africa?
The Africas?
I mean... Striker? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, Tropius is all of Africa, I believe.
I mean, do you think Sock and Throw will be divided?
Yeah. This is going to be interesting. This is going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
I mean,
out.
We
I'm
know
very
that the two Basculins are going to be divided. They can exist together.
Well, I'm surprised there's not like, I mean, I guess Florida technically has Carnivine or that whole area, but I'm sure there's probably a Pokemon that fits in the California area.
Lazimon? I was going to say Slaking's already been done.
Ooh, this is, Scraggy. Oh, I'm excited to get Scraggy. I like Scraggy so much.
All right, well, then there's your Pokemon Go news for the week. Let's take a quick break.
Okie doke.
And then we'll come back and we have Pokemon Masters to talk about and the update to the National Dex. So we will be right back.
What about you, Irene?
I watched the anime on the was the WB until it became the CW. Anyway, I watched the anime on the I've been involved with Pokemon since then, so wow, I feel
And we are back from our break. Pokemon.com. 5 p.m. Friday posting, which is the... We are posting this very strategically. And if you ever worked a 9-to-5 job...
Yep.
5 p.m. on a Friday is...
Nobody's around.
Walking out the door after we post this.
I mean, in most places, it's a corporate wasteland at 3 p.m. on a Friday.
That's true. It's very true. It's in both Japanese and in English here. I will read the English, of course. I promise they say the same thing. Thank you to all our fans for caring so deeply about Pokemon. Recently, I shared the news that some Pokemon cannot be transferred into Pokemon Sword and Shield. I've read all your comments, and I appreciate your love and your passion for Pokemon. Just like all of you, we are passionate about Pokemon, and each and every one of them is very important to us. After many years of developing Pokemon video games, this was a very difficult decision for me. I'd like to make one thing clear. Even if a specific Pokemon is not available in Sword and Shield, that does not mean it will appear in future games. The world of Pokemon continues to evolve. The Galar region offers new Pokemon to encounter, trainers to battle, and adventures to embark on. We are pouring our hearts into these games, and we look forward to joining you on this journey. Masuda.
So just to edit a word that you missed there, it does not mean that they will not appear in future games.
Future games. That's
what did I say?
Kind of an important,
it's like the most critical.
Yeah, it's the critical part right there. It kind of implied that they were dead forever.
Never coming back.
Never. We are paring it down. No.
That's next week's
They're
Friday posting.
They're actually going to put out a virus slash worm, and it's going to crawl through all the previous games and just erase these Pokemon. What do you mean? Audino? That never existed. Come on now. Why would we make such a foolish thing?
That makes
thing?
No sense. Audahoo?
You have two sides of this, right? You have the audience that the National Dex was not super important to them. This statement to them is like, okay, they acknowledged everyone that I've seen complaining. And then you have the other side who is passionate about the National Dex. And then this message does nothing for them, right? It's the, we heard you, we don't care.
That's not what he said. He said he appreciates their passion. That's different from we don't care.
Yeah.
You guys have real jobs. I don't.
I have a real job, yes.
How, feel free to be critical. How businessy does this sound? How PR-y does this sound? Or do you think this comes off across genuine?
This is more genuine than most PR things.
Yeah. If it was businessy, he would have said a business reason for the decision. Like, we did not have enough financial resources to support this in the, or there are not enough integrated circuit components in the Nintendo Switch to handle the fantastic Pokemon. No, he didn't say that. All he said was, like, you know, I'm not making an excuse.
Yeah.
I'm not even giving you a reason why. All I'm saying is don't give up hope. And you'll see your little buddies in the future, and that's the way it's going to be.
It's still definitely, like, you can tell this has been run through 5 layers of legal, just to make sure that nothing is going to get people in trouble, but it is definitely more, it's more personal than most sort of PR press releases are. It may not be genuine sentiment, but it's worded in a way that makes it feel more genuine, and that's what they probably wanted. I won't speak on his actual feelings because I don't know them.
So a couple things. I probably said this on the Twitch streams multiple times because since I do stream daily, I have my thoughts already out there. And then I just hopefully form better thoughts by then. So in podcast form, it sounds like I actually make some sense. But I don't think there was...
That's not the case at all.
All right, fair. I don't think there was really anything he could have said to make the people that are upset feel better. The two things I saw going around was, well, they didn't even say why. And to go back to your point for both of you, any why would have been to those people making an excuse. They did say why, which we're going to get to after we are done talking about this. And the other thing was they could have said, well, we plan to fix this with an update. I think whether people want to accept it or not, an update ain't coming. They're not like DLC, a patch, like that is not in the cards at this time.
Well, how many Pokemon games have had downloadable patches in the past?
I can think of
X and Y had one because of
the glitch. Talking like patches to fix the game?
Yeah.
I have them in front of me.
Ah.
But as for like actual downloadable content, I mean none. I've been doing this podcast since Heart Gold Soul Silver, and if you want to go back 8 years and you want to listen to how naive me and the other people on the show were about, you know, being excited.
His name is Aaron Spriggs, not Will Anderson.
But how, like, excited we were that, oh, Black and White will get this DLC, or, oh, Black and White 2 will be DLC, or finally X and Y, we're going to get this DLC, and, okay, just don't, Sun and Moon will finally, like, it ain't coming.
No.
Unfortunately.
You know, like, any sort of why would just have been gasoline on a fire, right? Like, there's no anything that's not gonna, for people who are dead set on this being the worst thing that's ever happened, it's just gonna fuel more clickbait videos on YouTube. The real reason why Pokemon has killed everybody.
And of course, like, there's always people, like, with a... Because you can give any response. It doesn't have to be based in logic or reason. Like, you could say, they said, oh, we didn't do it because we found out that if we did it, ships would crash, oil tankers would crash, and the oceans would be filled with oil. And then somebody's going to say, well, my dad works for Exxon, and Exxon Valdez actually didn't have an environmental impact, so that's not like a non-real reason.
So wash them birds.
Throwbacks to the 80s.
Wash them birds.
Shout out to Squared in my Discord community, who did post all the patches when some people were talking about them. X and Y is at version 1.5, so 5 patches, ideally, full 5 major patches. Auras got to 1.4, and then Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon got to 1.2.
Wow. That's not a lot.
No, wow. So the big one that people remember was
the don't save don't save in the outside.
It was don't save in the Pokemon Center or outside the Pokemon
don't save
Center
outside.
In Lumio City, I think was the
You'll
big one.
Die.
I don't remember auras. X and Y also had the sky drop gravity issue, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon had, oh man, well, Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon had the string shot issue. Do you guys remember that?
No, I do not.
There was an issue with string shot. I don't remember what it did.
What was
it? They had to remove string shot from competitive VGC for like 6 months. That was a good one. The cool thing here is that Pokemon games have been patched ever since Ruby and Sapphire. So this is some trivia for you guys. Hopefully the people who are angrily listening to this part and still are mad that they were mad last week, they're mad this week still. And thank you for all the hate mail. I do appreciate it. But some trivia here, so hopefully lighten it, is that the first game Pokemon games to ever get patched were actually Ruby and Sapphire. At least
yeah, I remember that.
That I know. There was a bug in that game. So after you play Ruby and Sapphire for 365 days, the clock will break and your berries will no longer grow.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the worst timeline.
This is why I went to Pokemon Rocks in Chicago by myself, because it was the easiest way to get the patch. Because yes. You could just bring it over, and they had a long line of where you just stood in line, and you walked up, and then they patched your game. And so I brought all of mine, and I waited in that line for an hour, because everybody was there to get their games patched. And I had all of my games patched, and then I, you know, made 10-year-olds cry by beating them in VGC.
So there was a couple ways to get the patch. You could send your game to Nintendo.
Nah.
You could do what Greg did. Realistically, though, back in the day when they couldn't patch games, they would just re-release those cartridges with the update. So the first, obviously, batch of cartridges that went out did not have that update, which had the issue. But if you traded or battled with somebody with Fire Red, Leaf Green, or Emerald, it would actually give you the patch through that fight.
Yes.
Also, if you used Ruby and Sapphire and you interacted with Gale of Darkness, Colosseum, the Wishmaker bonus disc, that would also insert the berry patch into your game. So just some fun trivia about Ruby
also,
and Sapphire.
The Eon ticket was a big thing to also help spread the patch around, because it was like you wanted to try to get the Eon ticket from whoever had it, and then us would patch the send the patch along. It was a whole thing.
So now going back to the statement here by Masuda, we haven't ever seen substantial DLC. We haven't seen any DLC for Pokemon games. And I think the reason for that is because it's our fault as fans. And I'm not defending the Pokemon company here, but just like looking at their history of how they release games, even going back to something like Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, you could argue that any other video game franchise would have made the Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon content DLC, adding 5 new Pokemon, adding 1 new Lycanroc form, adding Rainbow Rocket, adding the move tutors to the beach, and I don't think anyone really cared for the new story. I think universally, a lot of people liked the Sun and Moon story over the Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon story. But that being said,
didn't they also add Mantine Surf?
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. Let's not forget Mantine Surf.
Let's talk about the amazing part of Mantine Surf.
But almost every other video game,
yes,
in the world would have done that as DLC. And Pokemon has been doing that for 20 some years. You know, Platinum could have. Well, I mean, ideally, Platinum could have been DLC to Diamond and Pearl. Emerald could have been DLC to Ruby and Sapphire. But why? When you know that these games sell millions of copies, right? Again, not defending, but if you release Sword and Shield and they're projected to sell more than X and Y, according to the investor meetings and everything. X and Y sold 16 million, or I think. I'm sorry, I don't have it right in front of me, but I think it's 15.71 million or something like that. But if these games are projected to sell 16 million, And we know that the quote unquote, the sequels or the third versions or whatever sell less than that, but still sell pretty well. Do you make DLC for a game that sold 16 million copies with the hope that that DLC sells 1 to 2 more million copies? Or do you make a third version that at bare minimum, based on just numbers in the past, I think Black and White 2 was the worst selling third copy or second or sequel, whatever you want to call it. And that sold 8 million copies.
Yeah, it sold 8 million copies.
Literally any video game company would love to sell just like 1 million copies.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because it's like the first set are like 16 million and then the third one sells half. Half is still a lot. That's a lot of copies going out.
Not enough for my wallet.
Well, it's enough for mine.
As a company, they have this proven track record, and I'm sure their investors love it, and I'm sure the Pokemon company loves it, and I'm sure Nintendo loves it. Ideally, you know, if you're already keeping Pokemon in the ecosystem of we have a game almost every year, we have these plushes every month, we have this TCG every 3 months, we have this brand new season of the anime that only takes like 2 months off.
Yeah, it's a freight train that you have to stop. If you're going to stop a mainline game, you are putting the brakes to a very, very large train that has to suddenly come to a stop, and there had better be something else coming along.
They did take 2015 off. That was between Omega Ruby and Sun and Moon. So they have taken years off before. Again, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that why would they spend time updating this game when it's going to sell incredibly well and when they can make another copy that is also going to sell incredibly well? It's just not worth their time to do that.
Well, and also look at the Pokemon games that do have DLC. You got Pokemon Shuffle, you got Pokemon Go. They're all the free-to-plays where they're actually making their money by continuing to keep you engaged. If there was some way to make a Pokemon game where you had to pay to kind of like get improvements or advantages or another thing, then we might get DLC.
Yeah, I don't want Pokemon main console games to go to a microtransaction thing. I will say the only thing that sort of frustrates me about a lot of the conversation is the constant statements that Game Freak is without passion or lazy or any sort of value judgment about the decision that they made. Because from a looking ahead, the amount of Pokemon is only going to get worse. And that decision had to be made at some point for the continuing of the series, for the continuing of a lot of things. At some point, they were going to have to make the call. Because in 2050, when they have 2 million Pokemon and it takes, you know, whatever it takes to try to fit them on a cartridge, like at some point they had to make a decision. This is that point. They decided we're switching to a brand new console. It interacts in a different way than we've had in the past. I still think that the uncomfortable truth that everybody has whispered about, like we've had on this program for years. What are they going to do when we hit 1,000? What are they going to do when we hit 2,000? Well, we're here and this is what they're doing. They're going to keep the pixelated versions that are easy storage on your home that is connected to the cloud, that's connected on their servers, that is an online service, that they don't have to worry about the storage of your phone, that they can take care of it and don't have to worry about it. Steve sings the praises of an online cloud storage every Twitch stream, or at least whenever I tune in. They're going to keep it safe. And that is a very different thing than playing the game that can be played not connected to the internet the entire time. So I, like, if the surest way to make me angry about this is to state that XYZ person in this company is lazy because they made a business decision that we all knew they had to make. We don't have to like it. We've never had to like it. You never have to like it. But I think we all knew at some point they were gonna make the call. That point is now.
Okay, so I know a lot of people didn't like Let's Go, and that's fine, right?
Right.
You don't have to like every single Pokemon video game. I surely didn't. I've been. I didn't.
No, you're right.
I didn't like Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire.
And you're wrong.
During that time on the podcast, the busiest season for this podcast is obviously November, right? When a game comes out, and the things that we do to, you know, kind of stand out as a podcast is we've done those mini series, we've done them through X since X and Y, and I didn't like Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire so much that I stopped the mini series. I just wasn't having fun with it, and that's okay. That's fine. I didn't like yell at Greg and tell him not to have fun with it.
Well, that is not
Greg,
true.
Stop having fun.
You yell at me for a lot of things.
I know. Well, I know that a lot of people didn't like Let's Go, but I do not like the comments that Game Freak has lost passion, or they don't care about Pokemon anymore, or they're very dedicated to town, because we don't know what we don't know, right? We don't know how many people are working on town,
right? Well, and town doesn't have a freight train behind it, right? Town is a new thing. If town gets delayed, nobody is going to care. Like, it could be five people working on town because they right. wanted it. Like, there, nobody is anxiously anticipating town's release date.
Will said this in Slack, but, you know, we bring up Reddit or we bring up Twitter is because there's a lot of misinformation. And the reason we bring it up is the same reason we brought up the RAM issue in Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. Somebody on the internet said, the reason you're not getting shinies is because you're not resetting your RAM, and the game is remembering all of the Pokemon that you've seen, and it's not remember the shiny, so you have to go out the door and go back in, and that blew up, and everyone believed it, and there was literally no proof, and the people who asked for proof...
I actually came up with an even better analogy.
5 days later,
this.
The guy was like, oh, I lied about it because I didn't like Joe from Serebii. What is happening?
Yeah, that was wild.
So,
the wildest turn of events. I loved it.
So the analogy, I was talking to my buddy Zach today, and he was like, why are Steve and Greg saying these things? Of course, he didn't put me in mix with you two. Like, why are you guys addressing this way? Blah, 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 blah. And I said, here's what it is. Twitter and Reddit and Facebook and people are putting all of these angry, vitriolic posts and everything. That is the equivalent of a crying baby on an airplane. And when you've got 200 people on an airplane, 199 of them are okay with the trip, maybe not happy because they're in coach, but, you know, they're like, I'm getting to go where I want to go, right? I'm getting a Pokemon game. Maybe I'm not happy that it's not all the Pokemon, but I'm getting a trip. I'm getting my voyage. And then there's that one crying baby, and it doesn't stop crying. And all of a sudden, 20 people are now aggravated that they're on a plane. And then as the baby keeps crying and crying and screaming and yelling, and it's like, it's not changing the trip. Everybody's still on the voyage, but more and more people on the plane are aggravated. They can't rest. They can't concentrate. They can't think about the positive things that they're hoping for at getting out of this trip because that baby is screaming and crying. It's like, can we try to maybe give the baby some orange juice or change its diaper or do something to quiet it down so it can relax and everybody can get back to their positive thoughts of what they're hoping for from their trip, vacation, and everything that this voyage is taking them to.
Also, the baby has a gun to keep shooting at me. Like, be real.
That is
there are people who even if you're like, stop, will tag you, will DM you, will email you because they won't stop. Like, it's like, not only is the baby on the trip, but the baby is sending me voice messages of its crying.
The baby analogy is good. I just want to say that the couple things that did
pop up. We're
going
to get so much trouble for comparing complainers to babies.
It's me, William R. Anderson.
William R. Anderson called you all babies. At washing the sink on Twitter. At wash in the sink.
Okay, a couple things that did happen that was that popped up was... Nintendo, again, these are things that have no proof. this is just like the RAM issue where it was like, you got to go through the door to reset your RAM to get your shinies. That was never proven. And to that point, the guy was like, I lied about it. But the one was, I know somebody who works at Nintendo and they're very happy, unhappy with Game Freak, and they're putting pressure on Game Freak because they're unhappy. And there's this this pressure building between the two companies. And then it's like, okay, if for some reason you buy that with no proof, you're talking about the same Nintendo that featured Game Freak's town in one of their directs. That's the Nintendo putting pressure on Game Freak because they're unhappy, but they're going to go ahead and feature their non-Pokemon game during their Nintendo Direct. Okay, sure. I mean, whatever. Have 20,000 upvotes and believe it because that person provided no proof. Sure, that's the world we live in. So that's like the reason why we address that kind of stuff. Like, the two things I want to accomplish with this show is have a place where somebody can be driving in their car or running on the treadmill and get their Pokemon news without going from site to site to site to site. Because I can already tell you, we're not delivering your Pokemon news fastest because
nope.
You have to wait till Monday to get it. And number two is just to make you laugh and to have a good time. And the main reason I started this podcast was because I didn't have anyone to talk to about Pokemon, and I wanted to find a podcast that I could listen to people talk about Pokemon, and it didn't exist, so I had to make it, and here we are. So if anything, I want to provide accurate news, and I'm sure we've gotten things wrong in the past, and I apologize for that, but I also want to provide a place where people feel like they're having a good time listening. But then, to finally go back to my point of Game Freak is they're being lazy and they're not passionate. Again, we'll ignore Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, but Game Freak literally released one of the best games they've ever made, and that game was called Pokemon Quest. And tell me what was lazy about that game. Tell me that game didn't have an ounce of passion in it, because like, if anything, that game was so creative and so fresh, and yes, it was a very short game, but just because it was a short, bite-sized game doesn't mean that it was bad or passionless or lazy. That was one of the best Pokemon experiences I had, even if it only lasted a week. It was such a charming and delightful game and a twist on what we've seen Pokemon games do before. Like, if anything, that game showed that they can branch out and try different things with Pokemon and it still feel and capture Pokemon. Like, that game is so good. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I loved that game though.
I was very neutral on the game. Like, it didn't scratch the same itch that it scratched for you, but it doesn't have to. Like, I can still see that game as something unique and fun, and the people who loved it loved it. But it just didn't do anything for me. Like, I played it for a day, and I'm like, I'm out.
We're not your high school, college professors. We're not the government. We're not even NBC Broadcasting or whatever, Fox News. We're a podcast for entertainment purposes.
We may be the government. Wink, wink.
Shh.
The truth is out there.
Our only responsibility is to entertain. That's all we're trying to do. I make absolutely $0 off of this.
I make negative. Negative
actually,
dollars.
True, same.
I'm still waiting for my paycheck from ISE Inc.
I'll let you know when ISE Inc. is formed. Okay, so we started this conversation, probably got a little off topic and went down some different roads. We started this conversation saying that there was no excuse or no reason why. It was just, we heard you, we ain't doing anything.
Yep. Not with this one. The ship is in the bus.
The excuse, whether you want to believe it or not, at E3 they said two things. They said, we can't include all the Pokemon because we're working on new animations, working on a more balanced competitive, to make all Pokemon usable. I believe the new animation stuff. I don't fully believe the competitive stuff. So
why don't you believe that one?
I was going to start with the easy one.
No. The easy one is the easy one. We're going to start with the why don't you believe the competitive one. Because when I went to Poke Analytics, where we have 800 Pokemon in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, 26 are used before we get to less than 1%. And if we get 500 in this game, how is that not them focusing on trying to make that percentage more than 26?
Or how they focus on competitive before is the symbols.
Right.
In X and Y was the hexagon. In Sun and Moon, it was the plus. So if you're making a competitive game, if the new symbol is a diamond, you can only use diamond Pokemon in this game. Which means if you caught a Pikachu in, you know, X and Y, even though Pikachu we know is in Sword and Shield, you can't use that Pikachu in X and Y. And at first I thought, well, maybe it's because they are cutting down moves and they don't want specific like egg moves to be there. So for example, if we don't allow Starmie to be in this game, then that's a bad example. Hold on. Let me give you a worse example that I can't remember. I can't remember the specific move, but when I was breeding Murkrow, there was a specific move that it can only learn with Spirit Tomb. It could only be breed with Spirit Tomb to get this move as an egg move. And so I was like, okay, if Murkrow's in this game and Spirit Tomb's not in this game, that means you can't get that specific egg move for Murkrow, right? Because that's the only way to get it. Let's just say it's Sucker Punch. I don't think it is, but let's, for the part of this example. So in X and Y and Sun and Moon, you could get a Murkrow with Sucker Punch by breeding with Spirit Tomb, but in this game, because they want to focus on competitive, there's no Spirit Tomb, so there's no way to get Sucker Punch, except there is. You just breed Sucker Punch in Sun and Moon, then transfer it into home, and then breed that Murkrow with Sucker Punch with another Murkrow that knows Sucker Punch. So not even that example gets, like, fixes that situation, right? There's still a way around it.
Was it Superpower? It sounds like Superpower.
I don't know what it was. It might have been Nasty Plot.
Could be Nasty Plot.
But so even that situation doesn't get you out of that. So if you're cutting Pokemon for competitive, but in past games you just had symbols, why wasn't the symbol thing good enough? Unless, so two things I can buy, but we don't know, right?
Right.
Number one is they are drastically reworking abilities and moves. They usually change like, you know, 5 or 6 moves a game.
Well, they also change stats. They have been known on multiple occasions to rebalance stats. So a number of Pokemon have seen their attacks, special attacks, altered between generations. And we don't know that they're doing it here, but they may be. Like, the thing is that it's a lot of speculation as to why. It's also like, how many are they including as a speculation? But for all we know, the Galar region Pokemon will have wildly different stats than they had anywhere else.
But, you know, even simpler than that, which I agree with you, Greg, completely. They change stats. They change move pools for particular Pokemon from game to game. It's so subtle that if you're not looking for it, you don't notice it. And especially,
but the competitive people notice it.
Exactly.
Like,
if you're not competitive, you don't. But like, travel back to 2014, 2015. If they came out with a game and said, we're not going to have the genies in these games, the competitive scene would have just exploded in joy because everybody was so angry
so
about having the genies and so tired of seeing them on every single
team.
But
you don't have to cut them. You just make a rule saying that they can make any rules they want. They can
but then you make one rule that, like, these Pokemon that can be captured in-game are banned, and it's like, why are they banned? And it's like,
but here's the thing.
No, they don't. They do categories.
Rule, but that doesn't sort of stop the proliferation of hacked ones. It doesn't, like, people hacking that into the game or hacking it so that one appears and has the dots so it gets past the light checks that happen. Like, there's a lot that happens that just not including them in the code gets around.
It's not like, when they ban Pokemon from the games, which is like what Steve is saying, they ban categories. They ban mythicals. They ban all the legendaries. Or they say you can have two of the legendaries.
They've banned specific Pokemon before. Like Ash Greninja is not a mythical, not a legendary. But it
well,
been
because
banned.
It may as well be a mythical because it's distribution
it's
only.
So the counter argument to that is if they cared about balance in past games, then why do they let Pokemon like Mega Rayquaza compete? It's so incredibly powerful that like if they cared about balance, it is the opposite of balance.
I mean, for the obvious reason. Market research.
Would you stop with your market research?
No, it's true. Okay, so if you're going to build a new game and you want things that go toe-to-toe, you are going to allow the whole field so they can see what floats to the top, what is overpowered, what is impossible to deal with, and then your next game, you're going to come up with answers for those. Or you're going to say, these are so powerful, we don't have a good answer that's not going to break the game, so we're not going to include them. So let's look at fairy type. The only addition that's brand new that solved a lot of dragon problems and a lot of fighting problems and a lot of dark problems. They added a complete type to fix that problem.
And I think, well, in these kinds of arguments too, there's also an assumption that the people who are making these decisions and making these designs are hyper-intelligent, almost omniscient beings who can foresee the outcome of every small decision. Heck no, they're human beings just like me and you. And it's like, maybe I didn't get my potato salad on Thursday, so I kind of missed the fact that Mega Rayquaza was going to ruin everything.
Yeah,
it can happen.
It can happen. But also, to say like, they included these and it was way unbalanced. They include a lot of things like it's a common use case scenario. Like it's a stress test. Let's have 400 people hit this server isn't prepared. Does it fly or does it crash? And if it crashes, we can find out why it crashes. Like you can't fix something if you don't know it's broke. So you open it up to everybody and let it break and say, this is broken. And now we know what we need to fix.
They let Bayonetta in Smash Bros. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
And then everybody complained about Bayonetta and everything, but you know, that's
they let everybody into Smash Bros. Let's be real. At this point, I'm gonna be in Smash Bros. Ultimate. Watch for my DLC, $5 coming soon.
Their excuse, one of two, was we want to make it more competitive, or we want to work on the competitive scene. They haven't shown that, right?
They haven't shown anything.
That's true. They haven't shown a lot. If people are okay with that, they need to show that. And I don't know if just changing some abilities or changing some moves is good enough for that, unless they're saying one of two things. The first thing is when they meant that we're making it more competitive, they could have easily meant we're making it so you can pick any Pokemon in Galar and go through the story and feel like the Pokemon you've picked
has an edge, is
good enough to go through the story, right? I've made this joke before, but not a lot of people going through, Heartgold, SoulSilver with Dunsparce on their team. I know Greg loves it.
Me.
But
it was
like,
me.
No one's leading with Dunsparce against the Elite Four.
but even
I
different
am.
From
Serene
that.
Serene Grace Dunsparce is amazing.
There's a different scenario here, right? What we always say is the team that you use to play the game through
is not
a competitive team.
No.
Right?
No, it's not.
Maybe they're making that change.
There could be, right? Like, I try, and this is not a main series game, but I tried to go through Gale of Darkness with Delcatty, and it was
painful.
It was not, it was to the point where it was not fun, where, like, you would send out Delcatty, it was too slow, it would get one shot. You would do its, like, best move, which was Hyper Beam, it would do, like, 10% damage to something that wouldn't even, like, it was just so painful and awful. And there are Pokemon like that in you know, like Sun and Moon, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm
Young Goose.
Young Goose.
They're real hard to use.
And I'm sure there's definitely somebody, like, anytime I say, like, no one's going through the Elite Four with Dunsparce, I know there are people that are doing it, but, like, the vast majority of people are going to be, like, especially if you're playing a Pokemon game, you get to the Elite Four, you see the credits, you're completely done. Those people are going to pick Pokemon that are convenient. That's why we made that, like, Wooloo joke, is, like, if you only have six Pokemon on your team, and every time you send out Wooloo, if it doesn't do damage or if it dies right away and you see another cool Pokemon, well, guess what? You might think Wooloo's the cutest thing ever, but you're going to make the cut for another cuter Pokemon, and you're going to cut stat-wise the weakest link. So if Game Freak is saying that what we mean by competitive is like the competitive nature of going through the story, they should have maybe reworded that a little bit differently. But
maybe we're still months out.
Yes, but
okay. Like, I'm going to use an example that will make sense probably to Steve and nobody else. In May, they did the press tour for Final Fantasy 14, and there's a big disclaimer that the stats you're seeing on the move tooltips may not be final, because the easiest thing to change are stats, right? You're just changing a number, and the game knows how to calculate it out, and it was true. Half of the things that they showed in that press tour that the people copied and posted on the internet, vastly different when the game launched this last Friday for early access. A ton of things got moved down. Like, they're maybe showing the competitive side or what they mean, because they haven't nailed down those stats yet, and they're not going to nail it down until they have to program it in, like, September. So, yeah, they're not going to show that yet, because they are still going to have to put up a disclaimer. These stats, these move power levels, these things are not yet final. Like, we could see that whatever move is new is listed at 65, and then when the game gets released, it's at 75, because in all of their testing, they realized it was underpowered, or they realized it was overpowered. Like, that is a hard thing to show this far out, especially when you're still having quality assurance people battle everybody in their company and saying, how does this feel? What is this doing? What's the data? Every game doesn't show you the final numbers because those are so easy and so readily changed. So I don't expect them to say, here's the stat moves we're making, because it's probably not yet decided. That's the easy part to change.
I mean, I don't disagree.
Because my dancer's cure got nerfed between the press release and the actual game, and I'm bummed about it.
The other reason they said is because of Pokemon animation. Now, whether you or not, we talked about this last week, you like the new Pokemon animations, that's up to you. But the thing they haven't shown, and the thing that we know exists, is some sort of Pokemon refresh. Or Pokemon of Me, or whatever you call it. We've seen one screenshot of it, and it's a Sobble crying in front of a forest. If they're saying we need new animations and people... They didn't say battle animations, or at least I don't think they did. If there are 100 new Pokemon, I could maybe buy the competitive sense of we're fitting these 100 Pokemon in with these... I don't know, 400 old Pokemon, and we're changing stats, and we're changing abilities, and we're making all of these fit, and if we had to do that for 800 Pokemon and not 400 Pokemon, that would have taken more time, and we're going to, you know, use this as a baseline for future games, so when we implement Pokemon like Gorbis, because we sure know that Gorbis is getting the cut, that maybe in the future, when Gorbis shows up...
I think we can safely say none of the Ultra Beasts or Tapus are coming over. They do not have a passport.
Maybe when Gorbis does return in the future, people will be more willing to use it, but we're going to cut it down to 500, 100 new, 400 old. We're going to make it. Maybe that's what they're doing. And if they are, cool. If not, I mean, I don't think I'm going to lose sleep because I don't really care.
I mean, people also focus on just the Pokemon. There are attacks, too. There are, 2,000 unique attacks or something like that? Some insane amount?
781.
And they're adding How many more? Like,
well, if anything, they need. I feel like they need to cut attacks. They need to do like a Final Fantasy thing.
They probably do.
And
they
say
probably
like
do need to cut some out.
Ember needs to turn into flamethrower at this point.
Like, there's a lot of
bubble
things
needs to turn into bubble beam. Like, why? Yeah. Why do we have? Like, why would you ever use? Like, I could see a difference between bite and crunch because bite does flinch, crunch lowers defense. But like, there's no difference between ember and flamethrower besides the damage output.
Right, and there is. It's not just the Pokemon. It's all of their moves that are being looked at. It's all of the power. It's all of the animations for those moves. If they keep bite and crunch, do you make them look different so that people say, oh, that bite looks smaller than the big powerful crunch? Like, we don't... There's just so many things that happen in those games that we just don't think about and take for granted. If they're going to try to make like Flamethrower not come out of Score Bunny's foot, it maybe come out of its hands or out of its ears. Like, that's part of the animation that has to go into that. Like, there's a lot of things behind the scenes that go into we're making things better. So if you're going to say Wingull doesn't flap his wings correctly, okay, one, footage isn't final. Two, that is maybe 1/100th or 1/1000th of the things that they're animating in that game.
And I'll come at you guys from a different angle.
Come
you ready?
Me. Yeah.
I will say what we really have to be thinking of is the wild area.
Yeah.
Right? Because
movable camera.
Statement number one, Will Anderson enjoyed. I enjoyed Let's Go Pikachu. I have fun with that game. It's fun. Statement number two, yes, there's Pokemon in the overworld, but boy oh boy, all they do is walk around in circles. Flap
their
wings,
Steelix. That's
fly
Steelix
back
flew.
And forth. But so this is an animation issue.
That
right?
Vespiquen was going to come
me,
and wreck you for being in that wild area. That
either
was
way,
Vespiquen.
But let me see an animation of a Pidgey that like flies in and lands and pecks at the ground to get a little Wurmple or something, or
no!
some Flabébies flying around, some flowers and sniffing. Like, let's see some unique activities in the Pokemon in the overworld that aren't constrained to extremely limited areas. Like, part of the charm of playing Detective Pikachu was seeing the Pokemon interacting with their environments in each having their own unique different way. Right,
yeah,
that you really lost in Let's Go, because in Let's Go, all they do is dirtle around in circles or back and forth. And it's like, why is that Rattata walking over there? And then it disappears into the grass. It's like, give them some purpose, add into the animations so that they have a variety of actions and they look like they really belong in the world. It's like, take it to the next step. And you can't do that. And you can't do that for 1,000 Pokemon.
I mean, I can definitely buy into the animation excuse, reason, whatever. But I think a lot of people are jumping to like the battle animations. And on this very show, I think a year ago when we were, or right when, even maybe 6 months ago when the show was announced, or when these games were being rumored or talked about, and everyone was like, what do you want to see, Steve, for the new Pokemon game? I think I said, if anything, I would like to see battle animations improved. I'm pretty sure those words have been said.
Yeah,
probably
you've been
by
saying
me.
That for a long time.
For a long, yeah.
You've been saying that forever.
And if they don't, I mean, if they don't do new battle animations, and if they don't look as good as they looked in Battle Revolution or Stadium 2, because there are some pretty unique animations
you know,
in those games.
I'm surprised at the amount of love Battle Revolution is suddenly getting for how much people hated that game at the time.
Yeah. It's funny how the tide has turned on that game. If they don't do like new specific battle animations, that's fine. I mean, I'm going to turn them off eventually. I'm going to look at all of them and then go, okay, well, I've seen them a million times, and they add 2 seconds each, and I'm going to do the same repetitive task here, whether that's leveling or hunting or grinding, so I'm going to turn them off. But when they told me, when they said as an excuse they're going to work on animations, I just assumed off the bat, oh, Pokemon Ami, or Pokemon Refresh, or whatever that new thing is going to be called. and if that is a more advanced thing than what it has been in the past. Like, animations doesn't specifically mean battle.
No, it does mean battle.
I
how dare you?
Those are the two. Okay, so those are the two excuses. Competitive and animations.
And they're just excuses. Who knows? We'll see when the game comes.
It may be an extreme letdown,
in which case we cancel all series, the podcast goes off air, and we burn it all to the ground.
Yes. But yeah, why criticize something before it even exists? Wow.
I mean, like...
Okay, that... I'm going to push against that. Like, people should constructively express their disappointment. Like, they did tell you months in advance so that you could be prepared and disappointed for what your expectations are. And I think it's valid to criticize or state that I am disappointed in this feature. I don't think it's valid to speculate wildly, to state the motives, intentions of people you don't know or haven't met, to state the relative professionalism of those people, or I don't think it's valid to sit in a VGC Twitch stream and spam bring back the national decks on a Twitch stream for people who are completely oblivious as to what you're doing, that the actual powers that be aren't watching. Like, there's a way to constructively express your displeasure. Like, write them a letter. Like, Nick was correct. If you write the company a actual letter, spell out your thoughts and why it's disappointing and what you expected to get out of it, that carries weight. If you're just going to say, I want national decks back and I don't know why, or it's because we've always had it, or the super one that's making me just bonkers is people saying, well, the tagline is got to catch them all. That has not been the tagline since 2003. They killed it after Gen 2.
It was also an American-specific tagline. It was never used in Japan.
And the only reason why you remember it is because of the Polka Rap, which is a real good song, but it's not... It's not actually a command.
And transferring 800 Pokemon into your
Pokemon
new game
isn't
catching them all. It's literally transferring them over.
Even if you believed the
gotta catch them all still works because you're catching 100 new Pokemon. 100.
You're catching the regional decks.
And for the record, I do know how many new Pokemon there are because I read the leak. But I'm going to just continue to say 100 because it's a very easy number.
Sounds good to me.
Yep.
Because I don't want to spoil it for anyone. But I'm just going to continue saying 100. If you looked up the leak, you know how many the leaker has leaked. And he could be wrong. But he's been right literally every single point of the way. But he could be wrong on this.
Can we talk about Masters now?
We didn't talk about this stuff last week. Because we have to talk about this in sections. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna talk about Pokemon Masters.
Ooh, I'm so excited! I'm so excited.
We're gonna do Question of the Week, Pokemon of the Week. That'll be our show. We will be right back. And we are back from our break. Before I forget, we're almost 700 followers on Reddit. We're trying to grow our Reddit page. Reddit reddit.com/r/supereffective.
One day I'll learn how to use Reddit. No, I won't.
It's not something I won't learn how to use. It's something that just infects you.
Yeah. Stay away from
it. I forget it exists until somebody says, hey, have you seen Reddit? Or, which has happened today, who has a dancer guide for Final Fantasy XIV? Oh, Reddit does. All right.
I will say, Greg, the Final Fantasy XIV subreddit, pretty okay. They're pretty nice there.
I mean, I think that's like in the MMO world, Final Fantasy XIV is seen as a bastion of goodwill compared to everybody else. I will agree that in my, I don't know how many years I've been playing, I've only run into one person that I blocked.
Oh, on Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of blocking.
Block my wallet, because Pokemon Masters is coming. There you go. I'm going to lose all of my money.
That was the best transition we could have done. Block my wallet. All right. They had an 8-minute video of Pokemon Masters.
That video is so good.
The first 6 minutes of it is just a cartoon.
Yeah, it's like all the best parts of Pokemon Origins with everybody together.
If you don't know what Pokemon Masters is, it's a game being developed.
That will ruin me.
And published by DNA. They have made Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, Fire Emblem Heroes, Super Mario Run, if I'm not mistaken. There's probably another game in there that I'm forgetting. The Mario Kart game that's coming out this summer. This game is planned to release this summer. It is available
for... There's not much summer left.
Well, summer just started.
True, as well.
It's compatible on iOS and Android. No version numbers yet of which ones. It will be available in English, French, German, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Spanish, and traditional Chinese. It will be free to start.
Mm-hmm. Man, I want Caitlyn.
And it will feature strategy and battle game for mobile devices featuring 3-on-3 battles in real time. In the game, a players will embark on an adventure to meet trainers and make new friends. It will take place in a new Pokemon world called the Island of Paizo.
Yeah, it's not a great name.
No. Ugh.
Not a great name.
Players will form a team of three sync pairs, a sync pair being a combination of trainers and their partner Pokemon. This means that players will command three Pokemon and three trainers at the same time during a battle. Once a player has made friends with another sync pair, they can recruit those friends on their team and battle them to become champion of the prestigious Pokemon Master League tournaments. Not also a good name.
Nah.
In addition, each sync pair has a different role, such as strike or support. So it's important for players to evaluate the opponent, but also form a team of sync pairs that complement each other. For the very first time in a Pokemon game, trainers and their partner Pokemon from every region will come together on Paizo to form sync pairs. Players can team up with duos such as Karina and Lucario, Brendan and Trico, Claire and Kingdra, and many more. The gathering of just such a diverse group of trainers will lead to unexpected counters and unfolding a new story. 3-on-3 real-time battle mechanic.
Yeah, that's going to be wild.
In Pokemon Masters is a novel twist on Pokemon battles. Players will be able to release a barrage of moves while their AI opponents unleash attacks at the same time. Each move requires a certain amount of players' move gauge, which will continuously refill over the course of battle. Hey, Greg, you know what else refills over the course of battle? That sweet, sweet elixir in Clash Royale.
So does this depend on how fast I tap?
Maybe.
Is this a tapping game?
It doesn't look like it's a tapping game. It looks like each move has a timer that you can hit down. And it feels a little Clash Royale-y where like
it does.
That move pops up and you can send that move out. Which, again, I'm still playing the garbage game Clash Royale, so I mean, if this can burn Clash Royale into the dust and just make me a Pokemon Master forever,
we'll see.
That's my dream. Also, I wasn't following their Twitter, and I have now corrected that mistake.
Well, the big difference here, Greg, is Clash Royale has PvP. This game has none of that mentioned.
Good.
I've already seen people on the internet, this place we talk about a lot, very excited for PvP. It has not... I'm not saying there's no PvP, but they have literally never mentioned it.
Nope.
So I don't actually know if this game has it. I feel like that's a bullet point. You probably...
It'll be a DLC.
Yeah, maybe. $3.99, battle against people and use emotes. All right, so...
No, no emotes. I do not need Cynthia sending me, like, Pikachu giving me the dropped eyelid tongue sticking out. No, thank you.
Keep
that rudeness to yourself, Cynthia.
Here are the key features. Real-time 3-on-3 battles.
Yep.
Players will experience an all-new thrill of commanding 3 Pokemon and 3 trainers during battle while defending against their AI opponents team in real time. They keep using this AI opponent team over and over in this press release. All new locale to explore. Discover the new location, the island of Paseo. The rules of battles are different. They allow 3-on-3 sync pair. Adventure across Paseo to meet new trainers, earn badges, and enter the Pokemon Master League. Pokemon trainers from every region witness trainers throughout the Pokemon video game series interacting for their first time together. And stunning and original art. Experience beautiful characteristics and must-see battle animations.
I just want to know if I can drop the person that's supposed to be me, because all I get is a Pikachu. Drop that from my team. I don't need the protagonist on my team. I want ones that I pick.
It looks like the models in this game, specifically the Pokemon, are the same models we've seen in Pokemon Go, in Sun and Moon, in X and Y. Those models that they've made for the whole future proof. So they do exist here. They are getting their fair share around Pokemon games.
They are getting their money's worth from that.
I have a list of trainers that will be appearing. I mean, if you watch the trailer, there's a lot going on. I have a list of actual sync pairs here, but the trailer does have more.
It shows Brock with a Snivy, which is just blowing my mind now.
No, Brock's Pokemon is Onix.
Yeah, Brock.
Yeah, but he catches the Snivy and gives it a little healing spray.
He's a support. He's a support person.
Yeah.
Remember, the sync pairs help the people on their team.
He's catching Rose's Snivy.
I can't agree with this.
That's the whole point. They're interacting for the first time.
For the first time.
Literally
ever.
The point of the game.
I can't agree with this. I'm against this.
No, this is going to be the best.
I don't want people working together. No.
All right. So first sync pair is Red and Charizard.
Yep.
The silent type, this legendary awesome Pokemon. Well, they're really talking up this.
Yeah, they're talking up Red.
Talking him up. Awesome Pokemon trainer. Hardly talks. His best friend is Blue, also his rival. And then
his
it
husband.
Says, notice anything different about his clothes. And it says he appears in HeartGold, SoulSilver, and many others.
Do you know what the difference is?
Yeah.
About his clothes?
Jacket's different.
And?
I don't know. I have a very small screenshot in front of me.
Blue flames on his pants.
Oh, dear.
He's got fire pants.
That means he's a liar.
Got blue flame on his pants.
Brock and Onix appearing in Red and Blue in other games. Misty and Starmie appearing in Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. Rosa and Snivy appearing in Black and White, Black and White 2. They all have descriptions about them. I'm not going to go through. Blue and Pidgeot from HeartGold, SoulSilver. Cynthia and Garchomp from Diamond and Pearl. Iris and Haxorus from Black and White 2. Claire and Kingdra from HeartGold, SoulSilver. Brendan and Treecko from Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. Flannery and Torkoal from Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. Thornton and Bronzong from Platinum. Karina and Lucario from X and Y. Acerola and Palossan from Sun and Moon. And Barry and Piplup from Diamond and Pearl. Now, the reason I read those, as you noticed, Acerola says Sun and Moon, although she does appear in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. Brendan appears in other games, but they specifically say Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. Misty appears in many games.
Right.
And they say, Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. My assumption is there will be multiple of these characters. There will be a Misty from Let's Go. There will be a Misty from Red and Blue. There will be a Misty from Yellow. There will be a Misty from HeartGold, SoulSilver. because if anything in these trainer collector games is they give you the same characters in different outfits and possibly probably with a different partner Pokemon.
Yeah.
So Misty and Starmie from Let's Go Pikachu might be different than like Misty and Psyduck from HeartGold SoulSilver. Red and Charizard might be from HeartGold SoulSilver, but Red and Blastoise might be from Red and Blue. You know what I mean?
Brock with Geodude from Red and Blue. Like, stuff like that. Because it's weird that they picked Brock from HeartGold SoulSilver.
Yeah, and
out of there's
and Misty from like Misty is the only one listed here from Let's Go Pikachu.
Let's go Eevee. Really?
And they don't mention Black and White at all, which is funny because Iris is in Black and White as a not a champion. As when she was a champion, her Haxorus is the main thing. So we don't know. I think they said they're going to launch with 60 some characters.
Yeah,
I'm sure alternative art characters is a thing.
Oh, it is definitely a thing. Yeah. I'm living for it. I'm going to be poor. I will not be traveling in 2020 because I will have all my Pokemon Masters. Pray for me.
I'll give you money because I probably won't even download this game.
All right. Awesome.
They don't mention it here in the press release, but in the trailer, we see Steven with Metagross. We see Deance with Gardevoir.
Diantha, not Deance.
Oh, did I say Deance?
No, it's Diantha. Wolfric with Avalug is in that one, isn't he?
Yes, yeah. Wolfric and Avalug, yeah. They showed some people from the Battle Frontier, which was actually really crazy to see. They show the new bad team. They have like these black and white masks on them.
Who did they go from the? Who was it? It was the Battle Frontier. What's his name? Palmer?
Palmer, yeah, the guy who literally looks like Volkner, except he's wearing a green jacket, not a yellow jacket. I would assume every gym leader makes the cut.
I'm assuming, and every Elite Four member.
They just have to. I mean, if they're stretching to the point of like battle trees, I don't see why they would cut certain gym leaders. They probably just drip feed these. I mean,
oh, it's Thornton. Factory Head Thornton. That was the guy.
Thornton.
And there are so many battle related characters in the games. They're going to be taking your money for a long.
I am a very poor individual from here on out.
Each of the sisters from the Battle Chateau.
Yep.
Oh man. They showed Cylon and his two brothers as well.
Cylon. Thank you.
Because we're all excited to play the water type dude that no one knows his name with Panpour.
Cress?
Is it?
Yes. Water Cress.
Chili?
Cress, chili, and...
Cylon.
Cilantro, water cress, and chilies.
As long as they bring back my elemental monkeys, I'll be happy.
I was more excited after seeing the trailer.
I was excited at the concept before, but the trailer has me in the stratosphere.
Okay, did you miss the not actual game footage portion that they had at the bottom there?
It'll be in my mind palace. I will be playing the animated version. But the graphics still look fun. Like, I understand it's a mobile game, and I don't expect a lot of my mobile games, so, like, the screens look good, and I'm happy for it.
So every character gotcha game, because this is what this is.
Yeah.
You can pull duplicates, right? You can get like 7 of the same dude and then you merge them together or throw the other ones away and get dust and then maybe have enough dust to pull another character.
Well, I'm wondering if art style is locked to what they were wearing in that game, but the pull factor or the upgrade factor is getting access to different Pokemon that's on their teams. So like the upgrade isn't making them more powerful, but you can get other Pokemon that they use. So like I could see that as an interesting twist to the level up aspect. Plus it opens up like upgrading feels a little bit different than I'm making Brock more powerful. Like levels.
Well, what's weird is in the press release under Sync Pair, they show specifically Rosa and Snivy
right.
in Pokemon Black and White 2. But if you look at the actual art that Sugimori made, it's Rosa and Superior.
Yeah, so I'm curious what, like, the upgrade is going to be, if it's going to be upgrading individual. Like, there's so many ways that they're going to steal my money.
So, like, can you pull, like, a common Rosa and Snivy, and then you keep merging them until it evolves to Superior, or can, and that becomes, like, Legendary Rosa Superior, or do you just pull Legendary Rosa Superior? Like,
yes.
do you pull Legendary Lance, or do you
yes.
pull, like, common Lance, where he has a Dratini, and then you got to keep merging common Lances until the Dratini, like, I don't, I'm
yeah,
sure we'll find out soon enough, but.
See, what you do is you give them to the professor. He turns them into Lance candies.
Yeah.
And then you feed the Lance candies okay. to the common Lance, and that evolves.
Into the wood chipper, Lance. I need some candies. Yeah. I mean, there's so much. Like, every gacha game handles the upgrading different. Like, the merging and or upgrading or certain games. If you pull a duplicate, you just get, they automatically get turned into a currency to power up. Like, you can't get it again, but you get currency that can be used to power up anybody. Some, like, give you multiples that you have to merge together. Like, it could go anyway. The possibilities are endless, and I want to play it.
If it takes too much of my money, I'm just going to delete it right away.
Yeah.
If there's a good way to earn characters without spending a whole lot, I'm into that.
There probably is.
But if it, I didn't feel like Fire Emblem was like that. I felt like Fire Emblem wanted a lot of your money as quickly as possible. Although, I will say Clash Royale wanted a lot of your money as fast as possible, and now Clash Royale is just, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'd never think about spending money, because I can either 2v2, or I can do our daily tournaments, or
yeah.
I can, if I do want to do the ladder, there's usually some kind of bonus to doing the ladder, so I get benefits for winning, and if I lose, I don't really feel too bad, so pretty good balance there. But that game took like 4 years to get to that point. Well, two.
Yeah, it took a while. I mean, there's always, it, the biggest turn on, turn off for me is how quickly you feel the money push. And I think they're getting more sophisticated with it. Like, if it's just slow to get there, I don't mind slow. But one of the good things about not having PvP mentioned right away is that they've already eliminated sort of the feel of pay to win. Like, Clash Royale really feels a lot of the time when you first, like, when the ladder resets, you hit all the pay to win people. And that's a very frustrating experience. And then it levels out. By eliminating sort of the PvP right away, or it may come later, is they already cut out that glaring pay to win feel of it, because you're battling an AI. You're not, you know, you may have to purchase to continue playing the game, but it doesn't, that's a very different feel than I've paid a lot of money and I automatically win this game like Clash Royale does.
Question of the week. We're going to mix it up again this week, but Greg, give us our little song.
Let's hear that question. Woo, question. Woo, question of the week. Yeah.
For this week's question of the week, we're changing it. It's not really a question, but
why do you do this to me?
How would you feel if we
do one thing on this show?
If we translated Japanese tweets.
Oh no. I don't speak Japanese well.
That's all right. We have somebody in Slack that does speak Japanese fluently, lives in Japan, speaks English fluently, and did this for us.
Our Japanese correspondent, Andrew?
Yes, yes, yes.
Did a lot of work looking at this thread.
So, earlier in the show, we talked about how just blatant things with no evidence gets blown out, gets believed, even no evidence or provides, like the, you know, reset your RAM in your Switch to get shinies, or like the, I know somebody who works at Nintendo who said they don't like Game Freak, but I'm not going to provide you with any proof. There was a post at one point with Japan is more upset than we are about this, and they went on to say how Japan was upset with providing no proof, and doing some research, I couldn't tell what they were exactly looking at for this, but just for fun, you can definitely find people that are upset no matter what
on
language.
On the internet? No, I don't believe you.
So I just thought it would be fun that we translated some Japanese tweets from Japan, right from somebody who can translate them. Now, I mean, some of these are not translated the best, but I'm not going to... Andrew posted a lot here. I'm not going to read all of them, but
yeah,
some of them are funny or cute. The first one is, quote, "What a hard decision it must have been. The way he stated it," he being Masuda, "it seems like there's a slim chance for an update patch to patch them in later. But we believe and trust in you, Masuda."
Aww.
So cute and positive.
That's nice. Yeah.
Followed up by.
There are definitely some negative ones in here.
Uh-huh.
Quote, "Pokemon was the first game I completed as a child, and I thank Masuda for creating such an interesting game. But I have something to say to all of you bad words involved in deciding on the dex cut. Quit now, frauds."
I love quit now, frauds. Like, I need to work that into my day-to-day. Like, it's the new learn to play, noobs. It is quit now, frauds.
I love how they're angry.
I need to use that in FF.
But they still said something nice.
I know.
I thank them for creating this wonderful game.
But of course,
but now you're a fraud.
What's interesting to me too is Masuda didn't create this game. It was a completely other dude. Masuda came in a little later. Yeah.
Fire Red Leaf Green is when Masuda came in.
The last one is the important one.
Quote, "What happens to non-Sword and Shield Pokemon that appear in the anime? Won't that confuse kids?"
They will not appear in the anime.
Think of the children.
They will.
No. Greg, when my child and I want to show my child the entire Pokemon cartoon starting from episode one, and they see Mr. Mime hanging out with Ash's mom, but they've never seen a Mr. Mime before, what am I going to tell my children?
You're going to say that Galar has a very strict immigration policy.
You're going to say
that. Seeing the future of things, that's not going
to
come as a surprise.
To stay at home with his wife.
Yes. Also, when do you have a child?
I could adopt
you
somehow.
Lies!
Okay, so let's pretend for a second you only play the Pokemon trading card game.
Uh-huh.
You don't play the video game. There's plenty of these people out there, believe me.
There are plenty of people out there who don't even realize there is a video game.
There are plenty of Pokemon fans.
I meet them all the time.
I've met plenty of Pokemon fans that do not care about the video game. They're still Pokemon fans. There's no gatekeeping here. Because somebody didn't play Red and Blue doesn't mean they're not a Pokemon fan.
Not with that attitude.
What if, for example, they've been playing the Pokemon trading card game for 6 years, and then all of a sudden there's a Sauspa card which hasn't been printed in 8 years. We finally have Sauspa back in the trading card game.
Let's be perfectly honest. 90% of the people out there playing the Pokemon TCG do not care one whit for Pokemon.
Hey. No, that's not true.
Okay,
all right,
here's the 75%.
Question.
Do we know if there are Pokemon that have never appeared in the trading card game? Is that a thing?
There has to be.
Get on it, internet. Next
I would
week.
Be surprised, but I don't know.
I got more. I'll investigate. Fingers crossed for Ultra Shield.
Fingers crossed.
Quote, Mega Evolutions, Z-moves, hundreds of battle animations and overworld animations. Why can't people understand how important the scenario is in Pokemon? They want a beautiful game and story over lots of battle animation.
I mean, I love me some story, so I'm hoping it's good.
Quote, I'm happy to keep my mons in home. They'll eagerly await their turn to battle one day. Quote, game quality over the number of Pokemon any day. Quote, I'll guess my battle ratings mean squat now. DS days are over. Start again on Switch. It's not even a complaint about the national decks.
Don't they always reset?
They always reset.
These last two, like, are real.
Quote, I'm not angry. Just sad.
Yeah.
Quote, I've canceled my pre-order. And there's,
I mean,
there's
I haven't pre-ordered
there's...
yet, so I'm a bad fan.
There's a couple more, but shout out to Andrew for translating some tweets.
That's awesome.
I was just kind of all, I'm always curious how Japan feels about that. I know when I was in Japan, I didn't feel like, this was before Sword and Shield was announced, I didn't feel like people were clamoring for, or sorry, this was literally the day after Sword and Shield was first unveiled, and then I got in a plane, I didn't feel like people were clamoring for it, at least from what I saw in multiple Pokemon centers, that Pokemon was just a thing that existed in the world and people were very content with it, and it was on, you know, face masks and lipstick and gummies and cans of soda and billboards, and like it wasn't this, it was just part of their culture. So I'm always curious of how they feel about stuff.
It's a whole wide world that we live in.
Will, give us our Pokemon of the week.
All right, so last week's Pokemon clues was a banned Pokemon because of a move that it used to have, and once they made it so that you can't basically do that move anymore, it's not banned anymore, and it is a region exclusive for, and I'll say it this time, the Land of Parrots. Who do you think it was?
It's
Boofaland.
Goodness, what? The Land of Parrots.
It's Chatot.
You know what a parrot is?
It's Chatot, and the move was Chatter because people were saying bad words.
People
the
would
microphone.
Say nasty words because it would record what you said, and then when you use that attack, your opponent would hear your recording. So if you said a bad word,
you said a naughty word like Bulbasaur.
This is why we can't have nice things.
That's why it was too dangerous to be allowed for competitive Pokemon play.
Womp.
All right, this week's Pokemon. I will say, before I even start reading this, that for
don't
any...
Don't make me write it out again.
No. That I don't even have to read this
for
somebody who listened closely last week.
Uh-oh, I didn't.
Even better. In the old days, common knowledge was that only two Pokemon had no weaknesses at all, Sableye and Spiritomb. Their type combination of Dark and Ghost was perfectly balanced so that they would only take 1x damage from any attack, if they took damage at all. That all changed in Kalos when Fairy types were introduced. Since Dark type is weak to Fairy type, Sableye and Spiritomb now had a vulnerability.
Boo!
That has now left us with only one line of Pokemon that have no vulnerabilities. Unfortunately, when I was planning for this week's Pokemon, my memory was not working too well. I thought a particular Pokemon had appeared in Roxy's gym that was not a poison type, and that Pokemon had been Roxy's ace in the hole for defeating opponents. If you watch the cartoon regularly during that series, you will remember that every trainer ran from Roxy's gym in a desperate attempt to cure their Pokemon of poisoning. The trick of the story I had been thinking of actually appeared in a different gym, during a different part of Ash's journey through Unova. This one gym leader did only use Pokemon of her specific chosen type, but the unique feature was that her key Pokemon did not use any moves of that type. It moved extremely quickly through the air, had no weaknesses, and would attack harder than the challenger was expecting. It turns out that this particular Pokemon can only learn 5 moves total, with the 5th move only having been added in Alola through a move tutor. The gym leader focused on building up the one non-stab physical move this Pokemon could know so that it would leverage a completely unexpected attack. Another unique feature of this week's Pokemon's family is that they cannot have any hidden abilities. If they did gain a hidden ability, they would lose their no weaknesses unique feature. It seems to be a trade-off they are willing to take. If you would like to guess which is this week's Pokemon, you will have to figure out what Pokemon the gym leader was using, because this week's Pokemon is the first Pokemon that evolves from it.
Ooh. Sneaking that in at the end.
Twist.
I'm going to have to erase my notes. Curse you, William.
As honest as the day is long.
You are not.
Well, that is our show for you guys today. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We will be back next week, although I'm not sure if Will will be on since he is traveling.
Yeah, I'll be like sitting in the room with Greg with no microphone.
We'll figure it out. otherwise, reddit.com/r/supereffective. You want to join there. Twitter.com/PokemonPodcast. Twitch.tv/PKMNcast. I should probably announce this because I always forget. On July 12th, we will be doing an egg lock in X and Y.
So I gotta make my egg. Dang it.
I will be accepting eggs up to July 10th. So if you are playing X and Y or you like breeding and you want to send over an egg and keep it a surprise, just pop into any of the Twitch streams in the next week or so. And we have the rules and instructions there. It's pretty easy. There's one of two people in Twitch chat that will accept your egg, and then the night before they'll trade me all of these eggs so we can start the egg lock on Friday. But it is an X and Y, and there's a list of what I can't see what people have made, but you can see what other people have made. So, you know, four people aren't making B-doof eggs. but if you want to participate in that, that'll start on July 12th. That should be a big and fun stream that we've been planning for a while. Otherwise, I think that is that. Will is at Wash in the Sink. Greg is at White Wing. I am at Dragging a Lake. Hopefully you enjoyed the episode. Thank you to everyone who left us a review in iTunes/Apple Podcasts. Eventually, I will never have to say iTunes again because that word, that whole program is getting destroyed in like 3 months. And it's
what about
great.
My musics?
It'll go to Apple Music.
Oh, no.
Apple Music is the new place your music will live. Otherwise,
What about my movies?
Those will go to Apple TV.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Another app. Pretty much iTunes is getting turned into three apps, but we're not an Apple podcast, so... thank you all for listening. Hopefully... after all this debate about National Deck stuff, hopefully it's still fun and somewhat entertaining and hearing people's perspectives without people screaming at each other or calling each other's names. Hopefully it was enjoyable. We'll be back next week. Have a good week. Good luck with your shiny Alolans if you play Pokemon Go.
And... Happy Independence Day for the Americans.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Happy Canada Day. I believe that's July 1st.
I think so.
I think so. Poor Canada. But we'll be back next week. Otherwise, this has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Quit now, frauds.
Tricks on you, I already did.
Yeah, quit now, fraud. God, I need to use that online. That's gonna be my when a tank messes up at an MMO. Quit now, fraud.
Wow, dab on him.
Dab it.
Like every podcast on the internet, we are funded by Patreon. This is a shout out to all the supporters at the producer tier on Patreon. A huge thank you to Alex, Anthony, Catherine, Matthew, Jeffrey, Kevin, and Cygnus. If you would like to join our community and support the podcast, you can head over to ise.cash for more information.